Yes, thank you. Just a few thoughts, which hopefully address a few of the questions. And I just want to reiterate that I don't speak as a human rights expert, but as an economist working for an NGO. And I'm just going to go back to what was my initial point, that extreme economic inequality is a threat to development, and we are not going to go anywhere in achieving the SDGs and realizing the right to development until we tackle this extreme economic inequality, which intersects with so many other forms of inequalities and discriminations which affect the most marginalized people around the world. I'm thinking of ethnic group, women, groups discriminated because of religion, people discriminated because of disabilities. But in order to do this, in order to tackle this extreme economic inequality, the focus needs to be as strong as it is now on the bottom of the distribution and on the poorest countries and people, as well as on the top, on the rich countries, on the rich people, on the rich companies, until we don't recognize and compel those in power and with most economic resources to do something to achieve the SDGs agenda, to achieve the right to development. We are not going to solve the problem. We need to shift the conversation and the narrative. And in this, international financial institutions have a great role to play, the IMF, the World Bank, the OECD. There is a lot of discussion, a lot of rhetoric from these institutions, and some changes, some things are being implemented. There are discussions in terms of international tax reforms, especially within the OECD at the moment, that hopefully will deliver some concrete results. But there needs to be greater pressure on these institutions to bridge the gap between their rhetoric and their actions. However, it's not only a matter of what international institutions will do, it's also a matter of the political will of governments, because international institutions can do all the wonderful reforms that we want, but at the end of the day, those which implement policies, domestic policies, are governments. So we need to see change and progress towards implementing progressive policies also at the country level. And there are plenty of good examples out there. I haven't spoken about this today, but actually if we look at many countries in the world, we see a lot of examples of progressive policies being implemented to tackle poverty and inequality. So I want to be optimistic here. And finally, the last thing that I want to say with concern to what we need to see from governments is a commitment to build some sort of new social contract with people. The partnerships that governments should be focused on are not the partnerships with the private sector, it's a partnership with their citizens and with civil society. And so in this, and this is the my last point, is that opening space for the civil society that I mentioned earlier, which is also essential, I think also to build new forms of international cooperations, because civil society, of course, is critical to ensure accountability both on the side of governments and international institutions.